We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I just thought on Father's Day, last Sunday, you heard me talk a little bit about what the Bible says, the kind of dad that the Bible says you don't want to be. Well, today, I want to talk about the kind of father that I believe that God applauds, that actually shows a great example. And I pray today that every father, however you're watching today, whether you're live here or whether you're online, I pray genuinely, listen to me now, every father feels honored and celebrated and appreciated. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. All right, here we go. Father, as we come around your word, I pray that you just help me to share what I know you put in my heart to share. And I'm praying, Lord, that ears would hear, hearts would comprehend. Lord, I'm even believing today for some tough situations where there's some need for healing and reconciliation between a dad and maybe a son or a daughter. Lord, maybe between a father and, Lord, maybe the older father or mother, any healing of any reconciliation. I'm asking God today through this message, soften hearts. And everybody said, amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? I love that verse because the actual context of that verse is Jesus is bringing out this analogy of a father. And he goes, suppose one of you as a dad had a son and he asked for bread. He says, would you give him a stone instead? And the answer, of course, no. No father would give their son, if they asked for something to eat, something to mock them and, you know, to make them feel less. We love our children. Amen. If you were to ask for a fish, would you give him a scorpion? Jesus says. And the answer is, of course not. If then you who are evil, and Jesus is referring to the fact that God is holy and righteous and we are not. We were born in sin, shaven in iniquity. We need a savior. Our works cannot save us. It is our faith in Christ. Anybody say amen to that? So if then you in that context who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and that's if you who are in the context are evil know how to do that, how much more? Did you catch it? How much more? If you know how to be good to your kids and you're evil, we're all good with that statement? You with me here? If we know how to do that and we're born in sin with a fallen nature, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Today it's Father's Day, and I just thought I'd talk about some great qualities of what a great dad looks like and in the context of what a heavenly Father gives. So I got a couple of thoughts to introduce you with. Here's the first one. And I believe that this first gift that you could give your children, which is a good gift to give, and we know how to give good gifts. You with me here? The first one, and I say this and I mean this now, the older you get on this one I'm about to share, the more intentional you have to become. Because in actual fact, the older you get, the less likely you are to be open to new ideas. I know when there's an update on my phone, on my iPhone, I hate the updates because I just learned how to figure out the old version, and now they've gone and changed it again. And there's a resistance to change. Are you hearing me? And the older you get, the more careful you got to be to make sure you keep this introductory thought. You've got to be teachable. That's a great gift to give your children. No matter how old you get, the Bible says that out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained praise. That God can teach us who are older through a younger generation. One of the great gifts you can give as a dad is actually always remain teachable. Amen. The challenge is the older we get, the more set in our ways we get, And I think that's a great gift. Second good gift, I believe, just as an introductory thought, is to actually have an ongoing love for Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Now, I'm preaching and I haven't preached since March, so I'm just going to need a little bit. We're all getting back into the swing of things. There you are. And but just this ongoing love for Jesus, that actually we keep our relationship with Jesus alive and fresh. And let me say, the longer you've been a Christian, again, the more intentional you have to be of not just going through the motions. I remember years and years ago in Sydney, they did these sewer outlets in Sydney sewerage, and they actually had these sewer pipes that went out 3 miles offshore. And they thought that would be far enough offshore for people to, you know, deal with the sewer and deal with all that. And all of a sudden, there were people swimming in the Sydney beaches. And to their shock and horror, they weren't swimming in the ocean as clean and as pure as it once was. But they found themselves actually swimming in Sydney sewerage. And that's what it looks like for you and I when we come into God's house and we just lose our love for Jesus and you're just going through the motions. Are you hearing me? That's not just be clapping and listening because you're just going through the motions. I want to encourage you. Come on, let's have an ongoing, fresh, and alive relationship with Jesus. Who can say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So listen to it now. Four things we talked about last week that I believe the Bible says the kind of dad we don't want to be. And I'm glad the Bible says the kind of father we don't want to be. Number one, we don't need to be absent fathers. I mean, you can still be home and be an absent father. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Number two, we don't need fathers who, like Eli, would not train and discipline their children. That's not a good dad. Number three, we don't need fathers who practice stealing, deception, dishonesty as Achan did. And I know today we can sit here and say amen to that, but let me ask you, dads, don't cheat on your taxes. That's stealing. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. Do you tithe? If not, that's stealing. Yes. Yes. Thank you for the underwhelming response. And so when we talk about this, don't remove yourself from the actual meaning of what it's meant to be. And then the last one I love, it says, the kind of father we don't want to be is be that kind of dad that pitches their tent towards Sodom. In other words, leaning toward worldliness. The Bible says Lot, number one, looked over at Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew what Sodom and Gomorrah was. He looked at it and then he began to move in that direction. Then the Bible says after he looked, he pitched his tent toward it. In other words, every morning when he got out of his tent, he's looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. The next verse, where is he? He's living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Looking, pitching, living. You see the sequence? And whatever you're looking at is where you're headed. I keep trying to teach my grandson that, Jax. He's 5 years old. He's learning how to ride a motorcycle. And I keep saying, Jax, wherever you're looking is where you're heading. And so Jax likes to look at all the scenery on his motorcycle. The only problem is wherever he's looking is where you're heading. And so you got to make sure you're looking where you want to go. And I just want to say that's a good message. If you didn't hear that last week, you need to listen to that message. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. So having said that, I want to give you three qualities of a godly father. And I actually was taught this as a young man growing up. And let me just say what it looks like for me. What it looks like for me and just brand new Christian, we were taught that as a man in your house, you are called to be both a prophet, priest, and a king. Does anybody remember that kind of teaching back in the day? There's a few of us that remember that. It's not taught so much nowadays, and yet it's true. That I believe what is a good gift that we can give our family, number one, is we're called to be a priest. I want all the dads today to feel celebrated. I want every dad, listen to me, watching online, you're watching there with the family, and I want to say to you, we applaud you. If you're a dad there and you don't have your family around you, man, do we applaud you today in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Firstly, we're to minister to our family. We are devoted. We are to be devoted to teaching our family what it is to be in the Word of God.
what it is to be in prayer, and what it is to be in God's house. You are first a priest to your family. Before you go out to work and do what you do for work, before you do anything else in terms of social interaction, we are first and foremost, all the dads, called to be a priest to our family. We're the minister to our family. We offer covering. We offer spiritual protection. The husband is, as what the Bible says, the head of the house. That doesn't mean he doesn't dominate. That doesn't mean he doesn't lord it over his family. But he takes the mantle of leadership, and he takes the mantle of being the priest. When you get a bad medical report and it comes into your family, as the priest, you stand up and say, that will not come near to this house. You take your authority. You be that man. Come on, we're celebrating dads who are priests. Amen. I think that's good preaching. Cheryl and I, before we had children, we determined what our parenting mission statement would be. And as a dad, I took that seriously. I wanted to have a mission statement before I was ever a dad. And the parenting mission statement that we had figured out was this, that as a father, this is me, I didn't mind whatever our kids wanted to do with their lives. I really didn't. All that mattered to me was they loved God with all their heart, and they loved God's house with all their heart, and they did whatever it was that they felt God called them to do. Did you hear me? Funnily enough, now all three of our kids are serving the Lord, working for the Lord full time in church. But can I tell you, everybody's working for the Lord full time. But I didn't want to put that band, that label, that expectation. I just wanted them to love God, and I wanted them to love his house. Can I tell you, that's a good parenting mission statement. Amen. And now it's true for my grandchildren. The only problem is I've got to now trust my children to bring up their children, but I want to bring up their children. Does anybody understand my dilemma? I go, oh no, I don't think they're fit to raise these children. I think I would do a better job. Does anybody else feel my angst? I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, I pray for my family. I'm a minister to them. Number two, you got to be a prophet. And I wrote this down. I actually felt inspired by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this carefully. That when you're a prophet, we're talking to fathers, good gifts that you can give. That you can be the gift of a prophet to your family. And this is what I wrote down. Give a godly sense of wisdom and direction to the whole family. Give a godly sense of wisdom and direction to the whole family. You know, the Bible says like this. It says in 1 Timothy 3, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he ever take care of the church of God? Can I put it to you in another way? If a man doesn't know how to lead his own family, how can he ever expect to have success in any area of his life? In terms of whatever it is, if we can't lead our families well. And I want to put the challenge on the dads to say, that's what I believe you're called to be. You're called to be a priest, and I believe you're called to be a prophet. And I'm saying this to empower you, to encourage you, to inspire you, that that's the mantle that God puts on you. That you're to bring the word of the Lord to your family. The church is there to help reinforce the values that you discover in the word of God. We're not there to raise your kids. You're the prophet. You're the priest. You're first to minister to them. Can anybody say amen? And I just want to say, you can be the prophet. You bring the word of the Lord. I know it's not politically correct and it's not popular in today's postmodern world, but I still believe that when it comes to the father on a Father's Day, and not just Father's Day, but a message that is relevant for every day, is this, that sometimes it's always the man's job to step in and bring God's wisdom and God's direction. If he sees the family going down a road of negativity, if he sees the family going down a road of rumor and gossip and suspicion, that's when you step in, Dad, and you are the prophet. And you say, no, we will not go down that road of negativity. We're not going down that road of gossip and rumor and suspicion. You bring the word of the Lord. You bring the authority and the voice of God into that family. You say, Steve, can you show me what that looks like in Scripture? It's easy. Listen, Eve, the Bible says, was deceived by the serpent to eat of the fruit. She didn't know she was being deceived, or if she did, she wouldn't have been deceived. But Adam, listen to it, knowingly knew the snake had deceived her and still ate of the fruit. He was in that moment failing to be the prophet. Get thee behind me, Satan. God said, you shall not eat. He knowingly did what he did. Can I tell you, on Father's Day, let's celebrate men who are prophets to the family. And when we see the enemy coming, we step in, we step up, and we drive out the enemy. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. Amen. A prophet. Number three, we're called to be a king. And the whole idea of a king is the king of a kingdom. And I want to tell you, when it comes to your family, you're the king. Father's Day, you should be treated like a king, not just on Father's Day, but every day. You're the lion. You're the king of the jungle. Oh, it's getting very quiet in here. Sharon, I think we need some more work with the women. I'm getting a bit worried by the lack of amens. Come on, girls, can you say amen? Yeah, there you are. Now listen, I want to show you what it looks like. You are the king. You are the king of your kingdom, of your domain. And you rule and you reign in that sense. Are you catching this? You were born to be the lion. You were born to be the leader. You were born to be the warrior. You were created by God to be the protector and the provider. That's not to say the woman doesn't provide. That's not to say she doesn't care and protect and nurture. I'm just trying to bring out the attributes of what a good gift a dad gives to the family. And you're there to be that king, to be the protector, to be the warrior. You go to war and you bring home the spoils of war, and you rule and you reign and you lead your family well in Jesus' name. Amen. I know there's times when this lion made a mistake, and then the lion's wife roared and said to me, you were wrong. But I'm teachable enough to go, I apologize. That was a mistake, and I will get it right. So I'm not talking about dominance. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm talking about genuine sense of dads. We celebrate you today, and we need you as a priest. We need you as a prophet, and we need you as a king. Come on, somebody say amen. So there's some things that I got taught historically growing up, and I think they're good things. Let me give you today a little bit more of what I would add to those things. Number one, I believe, what's a good gift we can give to our family on Father's Day? We're celebrating, we're validating, we're appreciating all the dads. And we've got our Heavenly Father as an ultimate example. Okay, number one, these are Steve Kelly's versions. You ready for it? Number one, a good dad, a gift to give your family, is a good dad is fun to be around. I found out between services, I was asking, there was a Tarzan Disney movie, I guess, animation movie, that actually there's this guy called, I think it's Turk. And whenever he walked in on the scene, he was the guy that when he walked in, this is how he would announce himself. And forgive me, I'm not going to do it how he did it. I wished I could. But he would walk in, and maybe the situation was tense. Maybe the situation was peril. Maybe the situation was, you know, uncertain. And he would walk in, and he would just go, "The fun has arrived." And everybody instantly would smile the moment Turk walked in. I saw that, and I thought, that's the kind of dad I want to be. I want to, when I get home from work, I don't want to be the dad that all the kids go, "Oh no, dad's home." And they all run. And I've been that dad. Matter of fact, come on, online, I want everybody else here. Let's be honest, Seaboard Road, everybody. How many dads are willing to admit you've been that dad where you got home and all the kids went, "Oh no, dad's home"? Can I, any honest dads here? If you don't have your hand raised, you are in deception and your wife wants to lift your hands. Okay. I mean, I know what it's like. You don't talk to me. I've had a bad day. And you bring home all your baggage to home. And all you do is suck all the life out of the room. I saw that and I went, that's the kind of dad I want to be. When I want to walk in the front door, I want my kids to go, cool, dad's home. The fun has arrived. And I believe a gift that you can give to your family, no matter how old you are, I don't want to be that grandfather. I'm known as Skipper because Sharon's grandmother is still alive. So all the normal names, Nan, Pop, Grand, they're all gone. We've got five generations of parents and grandparents. So we had to come up with some unique, specific, custom-made names. So my name is Skipper and Sharon's name is Shaz. There's a whole lot of kids in our church that run up to me now and call me Skipper. And I don't mind in the slightest. I've even heard parents, no, don't refer to him as Skipper. Call him Pastor Steve. Hey, if you got a child and they call me Skipper, it is the greatest compliment of my life. Let me tell you right now. And so, yeah, I mean it. I love it. You can call me Skipper. Now, if they're 23 and they still call me Skipper, now, that might be awkward, but the bottom line is, listen, I know what it's like for them. I don't want to be the cranky grandparent that the grandkids are going, please don't send us there. I want them. Matter of fact, honestly, just one of my kids, he says to his mother and father, whose name shall remain Jared and Alyssa, and his name is Jack, says, I want to live with Skipper and Shaz. I don't want to live with you. And I'm going, that's the job of a grandparent. Tech mission. Now, you don't take that too far. But I got to tell you something. I don't want to be some cranky old grandfather that just doesn't want anything to do with another generation. I love the life that is in them. And a great gift that you can give to your family, no matter how old you are, and we're celebrating and honoring dads, is you are fun to be around. Come on, somebody say amen. Matter of fact, I wrote this down. You got to be life-giving. You got to be free from legalism. Listen, you minister life. Dads, can I say this to you now? Always minister life. The ministry of a father is one of life. One never ministers death or condemnation. The life that he ministers is the life of God that he has in his own spirit. And as a father, therefore, you need to seek God to take care of your spiritual well-being. Listen to it. In Timothy, it says, take care of yourself and the flock of God, whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And as you take care of yourself, you keep the river of life running through your spirit. In other words, come on, we're celebrating dads. Dads ought to be fun to be around. You should be the party planner. Whenever there's a party, everyone should be going, what does dad think? I got to tell you, when Skipper is involved in the party, it gets big. It gets exciting. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like gift giving is going to go to a whole new level in Jesus. Sharon has to dial me down. Praise the Lord. In other words, I believe you ought to be the travel agent. In other words, plan great family vacations and don't just have the act of being fun. Have the lifestyle of being fun. And there's a big difference. We've already done that fun thing. Now let's get serious. No, you can take life seriously and still fun to be around. Come on, I think that's good preaching right there. Number two, I believe a good gift that we can give in our generation is a good dad has a community conscience. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus sat down opposite the place where offerings were being put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. I wonder how he does that nowadays that we give online. I wonder if he still knows. Do you think? He still pays attention. And listen to what it says here. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of the wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. I love what Jesus did here. He teaches us how to have a community conscience. In other words, let's not just validate the show ponies, the people who look good, that wave all their big notes and look. He said, no, look at this widow. He elevated the woman who had no voice and said she's the most generous person of them all. I believe as a good dad, we ought to have a community conscience. We ought to teach our families to give back, to be socially aware of what is going on in our environment. I believe a great gift that dad can give his family. Listen to me, everybody online. One of the greatest gifts you can give your family is to be socially aware and have a community conscience of the city in which you live. And we're here to give back to another generation. Come on, somebody say amen. Matter of fact, this is what James, Jesus' half-brother, said. This is what pure and true religion looks like. Listen, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. In other words, real Christianity, pure Christianity, is when you speak up for someone who has no justice. When you're willing to speak up for someone who has no voice. When you see injustice, you actually teach your family where to get involved and how to get involved. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You're not shouting me down right now, but let me tell you something, that's a good dad. When he actually has a community, he's involved in initiatives of Wave Church in a school makeover. Because we have a community conscience. When we're doing something to build and help bless the homeless shelter, when we're feeding the needy, you're not sitting there going, oh, there they are, church, asking for money. No, no, you're teaching your family, let's get involved in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give God some praise. A good dad, and I'm landing the plane right now, a good dad is committed to examples of a healthy lifestyle. And I just want to say it, a good dad, a gift that you can give, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts, here's a few of them, here's a good gift to give, a healthy you. If you got emotional stuff going on in your life, can I say this, dad, look at me, welcome to the human race. We all do. We all have need of help in some area at some time in our life. And the best thing, the best gift you can give is to get help if help is needed. To deal with that, whatever that baggage is. Let's not pass on our emotional baggage. Let's pass on a legacy of faith and generosity. To a good dad, a gift that you can give your family is to take care of your own emotional well-being. To take care of your own physical health. Amen. To take care of your soul, to actually a good dad, having healthy friendships. A good dad gives a good work ethic. A good dad is not a victim, blaming everybody else why they're not progressing how they could and should do. A good dad, listen to me, a gift that you can give. My father taught it to me. I'll never forget it. I was so mad at him. He gave me a work ethic. My father did a lot of things growing up that he's not all that proud of. But one thing he did right for me is he taught me how to work and make sure that I went to work even when I didn't feel like it. By the way, I'm still at high school while I'm learning this lesson. My father used to have a second job and he used to get me to carry all these big bales of paper. I mean, bales this tall and 4 foot wide because he wasn't strong enough to drag them. And my dad gave me a job working with him in his part-time job so I could save up enough money to buy an engagement ring for this beautiful girl sitting right here. And remember, my knee blew out on me. I mean, I'd literally be walking, and you've seen this. I'd literally be walking, and my knee would fall out. It would just lose all its strength, and I'd collapse. And I would be in such pain in my knee. I remember this one night, I said to my dad, Dad, I can't go to work. I said, I can't walk properly on my leg. And I was determined I wasn't going to work. I had a good reason not to go to work. And my dad said, if you don't go, who's going to carry all this stuff? He goes, drag it on one foot. I don't care what you do. I need you. And I said, Dad, I'm not doing it. My dad looked at me, he goes, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, suck it up. You're coming to work. You've got a job to do, son. Do the job. Now, the truth is, I was milking it a little, to be totally honest with you. And I did think I had a reason not to go that night. But my dad taught me something that night that has stuck with me to this day. That I make sure I'm not living a weak, pitiful, excused life. But I learned something about pushing through the pain. Can anybody say amen? That's a gift you can give your children that I believe is passed on into my own family. Turned sometimes to a point where I worry that I think I've done too good a job.
in terms of I watch their work ethic and I watch what they do. And I think, hey, guys, you know, it's okay. You are allowed to, you know, be careful here. Let's just make sure we're doing this all in a healthy way. I'd rather cool down a fanatic than warm up a corpse any day. Come on, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. And let me just close with this, because I know I just want to just say this. The greatest gift that any dad could ever give to their family, and it's Father's Day, and we're talking about knowing how to give good gifts. So I want us to know what a good gift looks like, is this last one. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more? No, you didn't catch that. Come on, online, look at me. How much more? No, you still didn't catch it. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more? These are all good, but Jesus is going to give us something that is so much more. How much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? And I believe with all my heart, the greatest gift you could ever give your children, dads, is the gift of knowing the Holy Spirit. And of all the things for Jesus to mention, above everything else, He chose the giving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And church, I'm here to tell you, Wave Church, we've never needed the Holy Spirit like we do right now. This nation has never needed the leading and the prompting and the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if we would just lean in to the Holy Spirit and hear from God and hear from heaven and give that to our children, it will turn the nation around. We need the Holy Ghost. But you can't give what you don't have. So you got to make sure you got it. And I believe to this day, with all my heart, the greatest gift I've ever given my children, the greatest gift, is not a college education. And by the grace of God, none of my children have student loans. And that's a good gift to give them. Are you hearing me? I believe I've given my kids a great gift in a lot of areas. But I believe with all my heart, the greatest gift I could ever give my family is the gift of knowing the Holy Spirit. Can anyone say amen? And I want to talk to everybody online right now. And I want to talk to everybody sitting here listening to the sound of my voice. Can I just say this to you? Look at me. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the one that comes alongside of you. In Greek, there's a word, and it's called the paraclete. And what it means is one who stands beside you in a court of law that pleads your case. And can I tell you today, listen to me. Look at me now. Everybody, listen to the sound of my voice. Look at me now. Please don't get distracted at home. Please don't get distracted at home. Let me have your attention. The Holy Spirit stands beside you today and talks to the Father and says to the Father, and He intercedes on your behalf. He prays for you. Can I tell you, the Bible says no man can come to the Father, listen to it, unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And I believe that God is doing, just like in the Bible, if you don't read your Bible, here's a great story. There's this dude called Philip. And one day he was in Samaria. And the next day, God supernaturally translocated him in a moment of time, and he was in another place. Could you believe that? What a great way to travel. This is Beam Me Up Scotty before Beam Me Up Scotty ever existed. Are you hearing me? And I'm believing right now, that right through this camera, the Holy Spirit speaking to everybody watching online all over the world. And God's going to reach through this moment supernaturally. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you to the Father. No man can come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And I believe what God's doing right here in this room is being supernaturally transferred into everybody watching online. And there's a pulling, there's a calling, there's a drawing. And the Holy Spirit is tugging your heart toward the Father. If you don't know Jesus, the Holy Spirit's drawing you to the Father. If you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not right with God, you're not living for Him like you once were, the Holy Spirit is pulling you to the Father. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? can I pray for you this morning? If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, that you would know Jesus, that you would know God, that you would know what it is to be forgiven of your sins. Church, have you got any faith today? Come on, have you got any faith today? People are going to meet Jesus. I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, I feel that tug, I feel that pulling, I feel that drawing, I want to get right with God. The Holy Spirit is touching me. Would you pray for me, Steve? I'm going to ask everybody, just close your eyes and bow your heads. And friend, if that is you, and you feel the tug of heaven, you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit drawing you to get right with God, to come to the Father, to come back to the Father. If that's you all over this building, I want you with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I feel that tugging in my heart. I feel the pull of the Holy Spirit. I want to get right with God. Would you lift your hand all over the building? That's it. God bless you. 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 Everybody online, I want you to click that button right there that says, I'm making a decision. Thank you online for doing that. God bless you. God bless you. There's another hand. God bless you. There's another hand. God bless you. There's another hand. This is my last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, would you lift it now? Would you lift it right now and say, Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, I feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. Steve, I want to get closer to the Father. I want to get right with the Father. Lift your hand. God bless you. Hands are being raised all over the place. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for every single person? Ah, come on. Let's give God some praise. It's our first Sunday back here. People are lifting their hands. Online, people are making decisions. Let's pray this prayer, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, out loud. I want to hear you, church. You're the extroverts. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you today
to come into my life.
To make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.